You ever get into a praise and worship time and just wish it wouldn't end?
Yeah.
I don't know about for you all, but today was like that for me. How many of you remember AOL Mail? Some of you won't even know what I'm talking about. I think just about everybody, when the old computers finally got into the houses, probably had AOL Mail at some point, because they pretty much were the only ones that had it. But you'd get this little thing when an email came in and said, "You've got mail." I think I got it right. That's about right, yeah? "You've got mail." And remember how exciting that was? Because that didn't happen very often. That was before the days of spam, viruses, getting bill notices, you know. Yeah. And if you ever worked in an office environment, the email started to get a little annoying after time. Because every email that came in was probably a little bit of work you had to do. Some of the letters that Paul wrote would have been received the same way we used to receive AOL mail. We've got mail from Paul. Woo! Exciting. And other ones would be like those dreaded emails. Uh-oh. I would like to take some time over the next few weeks to study some of Paul's letters to the churches. And as we do so, I'd like us to think as if those letters were written to our church. Unlike the churches who received these letters then, we have the benefit of the complete Bible. We have the benefit of learning from them. But we are being established and the church being established. However, I do think that each of these letters we can glean something useful, insight for ourselves and our church. We're going to go to Acts 16, verse 9. It's always good to have a little background history of how we got to the letters. Acts 16, verse 9. Just look up at me when you're close. "A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' When he had seen the vision, we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that they had called us to preach the gospel to them." So this was during Paul's and his compadre's second missionary journey. So they're making their way on to Thessalonica, which was a prominent seaport in the capital city of the Roman province of Macedonia. It was located on the Via Ignatia, the main road from Rome to the east. Thessalonica's location enabled the city to become a prosperous commercial center that boasted an estimated population of over 200,000 people. There was, of course, a prominent Jewish population there, as well as many Greeks who had grown weary of the Greek paganism that promoted immorality and indulgence. So Thessalonica was ripe for the gospel, but that did not prevent the opposition from the Jewish legalists. We'll just go over to Acts 17. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. "Now when they had traveled through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of Jews. And according to Paul's custom, he went to them for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from Scripture, explaining and giving evidence that Christ had to suffer and rise again for the dead, and saying, 'This Jesus who I am proclaiming to you is the Christ.' And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, along with a large number of the God-fearing Greeks, a number of the leading women. But the Jews, becoming jealous, taking along some wicked men from the marketplace, formed a mob and set the city in an uproar, and attacking the house of Jason, they were seeking to bring them out to the people. When they did not find them, they began dragging Jason and some brethren before the city authorities, shouting, "These men have upset the world and come here also." Paul didn't get to stay there very long. And when we look at this, it was anywhere from 3 to 4 or 5 weeks, but he was there for 3 Sabbaths. But he had such a love and devotion for this church. We're going to see how he commended them for their faith, love, and hope. And he wrote this letter while he was in Corinth. And it is evident that the church there had a profound impact on those around them and for the cause of Christ. The church in Thessalonica should stand as a testimony and challenge for us in the modern church. As you can see, they've been persecuted and continue to be persecuted. There's an underlying theme. 1 Thessalonians, starting in verse 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work and the faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, his choice, beloved by God, his choice of you. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in the power and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. You also became imitators of us in the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you may become an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. As I was preparing for this message, I said I will start with the letter that they think Paul wrote first. And I said, well, we'll probably get a quick glaze over this in one Sunday, but I think it's going to take a little bit more than that, as we aren't going to get any further than the greetings that Paul and prayer that Paul said in this first Sunday. Paul's greeting speaks of encouraging relationships. Starting in verse 1, during the opening greeting, Paul mentions them in his prayers. And let us consider the relationships that he speaks of. Paul speaks of the brethren, Silas, Timothy, and the beloved, who are the church. But as Paul writes this, he kind of writes it like it's a joint letter from all three of them. And I'm certain they had some input and agreed with Paul. He sends regards from Silas and Timothy because the church knew these men. They too had labored alongside Paul, establishing this church. And we know that Paul was very thankful for their support and the fellowship, and he knew the church would be as well. There's something special about the bonds we make with those who we labor with, and this comes with encouraging each other during these labors. Serving the Lord together, particularly in times of adversity, creates a bond between those who work together. I like to think back to vacation Bible schools. A little bit of adversity creating those and leading those. I think back to movie nights, sunrise breakfasts, fall festivals, and missions trips. And there are many other areas of service. I'm certain each of these events had many joyous moments, but it did come with adversity along the way. You know, we This last mission trip we went on, it was like the first day we saw that the weather was going to be raining just about every day. So we naturally start worrying about that a bit. And then we go to Lowe's to start picking up supplies. And the card doesn't work. But the Lord provided.
Amen.
We could have easily packed up that day that this just ain't meant to be if we'd have just stayed negative about it. But we got through it. It was a bit warm that week. Actually, it was a lot warm. And yet, there were frustrating moments. Many a nights where we wished we could have just went to bed. But then we fellowshipped. We broke bread together. We prayed together. We sang together. We read the word together. And it made that staying up another hour worth it. And much like what we do now, there will be times where we just kind of want to stop and give up because it seems like everything's against us. We should be rejoicing for our brethren in the faith and thank the Lord for them. It certainly would be a difficult task without those whom the Lord has placed alongside us and would make one very tired pastor. So I thank you for those of you who serve in this church. Because these lights don't come on by themselves. The music doesn't play. The singers don't sing. The offering doesn't get passed without those who are willing to serve. We don't get the benefit of Sunday school without those willing to teach. And this is what Paul is telling them. Paul was certainly thankful for Silas and Timothy, but he was also thankful for this beloved church. Because without them, there would be no ministry and no labor for them to work together. Also in this greeting, Paul reminds them of a few things. The first thing he reminds them of is their position. God had placed them there. They're reminded of the position they hold and why they're there. And it's a simple and yet profound statement. In this letter, Paul speaks of their physical position, but also their spiritual position. And as we go through this study, we'll dig a bit deeper into this. First, he reminds them of where they are. They are in a critical juncture. They have Jewish non-believers and the Greek non-believers. And they have come together, some of them, to become believers. Where are we here in Leesville? We're here to minister to these communities and not just ourselves. They are the church of the Thessalonians, and they're called to minister in that great city. So how do we minister in our area? Next, he reminds them of who they are. They're set apart, sanctified, servants of the living God, and so are we. They are in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and he reminds them and us of theirs and our obligation to serve the Lord and the great power and potential they possess in him. I think it's good that we get reminded of who we are and why we are here. We are positioned where we are for God's purposes and his desires. Paul also reminds them that the provisions come from the Lord. He offers them a prayer of blessing and grace and peace unto them. He knew exactly what they were going through. Because on Paul's way there, he also went through some persecution. He desired the Lord's grace in their lives, but he also desired peace. So he's praying for them. They needed peace because of the opposition they faced. They were being persecuted relentlessly. In our lives, we will accomplish very little for the Lord if we lack the grace and peace that can only come from Him. I like this statement. God's grace sustains us, while His peace sees us through adversity. He also reminds them that their provider is the Lord. And what we're going to see in Thessalonians is Paul continues to encourage them and he helps them. We're going to talk a little bit about the rapture next week. But if they were to enjoy real grace and peace, they needed to be assured of where it would come from. They are reminded that they belong to the Lord and He would provide. They could rest assured in God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I know we understand and are fully aware that Christ stands as our mediator and our intercessor. We know that He has the ability to provide for our needs. But sometimes we just need to be reminded that we belong to Him. Those of us who are saved have been placed in the family of God, and we are under His care. Paul also prays and gives thanks. We give thanks to God always for you all, mentioning you in our prayers. This is one of Paul's first encouragements to this church, is we are praying for you. Isn't it encouraging when we know a prayer warrior comes up to us and says, "Hey, I'm praying for you." The particular of Paul's prayers here are pretty neat. He reveals that he gives thanks to God for them. He is actually praying for all the believers in Thessalonica and the work that they are engaged in. They were focused, the focus of his heart and of his prayers. He knew they needed the help of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he sought the Lord on their behalf. Wouldn't you agree that we need to be reminded of the urgent need for our church, our leaders, our servants? And others to be prayed for? Surely you would agree that we all need prayer and we all need the Lord's help as we seek to serve Him. We should be praying for other churches facing the same persecutions that the church in Thessalonica had faced. This week I want to challenge you. I want to challenge each of you to pray for a country that has churches being persecuted. A few come to mind, but I encourage you to pray for one that the Lord lays on your heart. China, Nigeria, Iran, almost every Middle Eastern country, and parts of the Philippines, North Korea. We must, church, make an effort to pray more earnestly for the church and each one who makes it up. We need to pray for one another. And question ourselves, are we only praying for our personal desires? Perhaps we need to be praying more for the church as a whole. We ought to thank the Lord for those we serve alongside. As I mentioned already, Paul was very mindful of their struggles. Paul literally made mention of them when he prayed. I think we all can agree that prayer is the most effective and powerful tool that a Christian possesses. And yet I fear that it is often the least used. May we develop a sense of urgency and commitment to pray. And when we pray, let's make it a priority to mention the needs of others. Let us make it a part of our daily lives. In verses 3 and 4, Paul remembers and he says this: "We give constantly bearing in mind your work of the faith and labor of love and steadfastness of your hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, his choice of you." Verse 3, Paul remembers their unfailing work of faith. They were consistently laboring for their faith in Christ. He mentioned in Acts how they were spreading the gospel. They had embraced the Lord as Messiah and were unshaken in their commitment to Him and those who needed to trust in Christ as their Savior as well. The enemy continued to bring about opposition, but this church refused to abandon the work of the Lord. Someone knew our church well and took the time to ponder what they remembered of us. What would they have to say? Could it be said that we were also committed to the work of faith? Are the Lord and His work the priority of our church? Are we determined to reach the world by sharing the good news? As I was studying these passages, I thought these would be good questions for us just to review as a church occasionally. I certainly think we've done a pretty good job over the nearly 30 years we've been here. Like Paul, I give thanks to this church. We have obviously done some things right because we're still here. It's not easy to be a church in rural Ohio. Within 5 miles, I forgot, I counted it, multiple churches here. Yet we still have the lost out there. But I do think we need to keep evaluating ourselves to ensure that we continue to build on that foundation we have over the last 30 years and serve the Lord and further His kingdom. He also remembers their love, their labor of love. It's an interesting concept. We don't typically view love as being laborious or burdensome, but there are occasionally when it is. But this church was not deterred by the opposition of others. They were determined to love them unconditionally. Their love was not based solely upon what they received. They didn't say, "Well, they aren't nice to me, then I won't help them or pray for them." They extended love even when it wasn't earned, deserved, or returned. This is loving as God loves. Also, I believe it could be said pretty safely that they were so moved by the love that they had received in their salvation from Jesus that they could not imagine not laboring for Him, whatever the cost or circumstance. You see, when our hearts are filled with love, labor's not a burden. It is a joy. Paul remembers their long suffering. The hope that Paul spoke of was a blessed hope that believers have in Christ. See, we have hope, and we have assurance of eternal life. They were not inconsistent with that hope. It took a credible amount of patience and steadfastness, endurance, loyalty, and perseverance for this church to continue to be a church and to spread the gospel. We'll later hear about this church continued to receive false doctrines, even receiving letters that were counterfeit letters of Paul's that weren't his, telling them that. All kinds of tough things. But they would not be moved from the foundation of their faith. Paul offers an encouraging reminder that Jesus Christ is their Lord, and once again, that their hope is not in vain. Their faith, love, and hope are settled in Christ the Lord and God the Father. And just as we are, they are held and secured in His mighty hand. Storms will come, opposition would remain, and just as us, they were being led by the Master's hand. And guess what, folks? The same remains true for today. Paul encourages them in their longevity and the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul very much understood the adversity that that church was facing, but he was not concerned about their demise because Paul knew that they would remain even though difficulty abounded at every hand. This was not just an ordinary group of people. This was a group of beloved brethren. Paul knew that the gospel does not come with just words only. It comes with the power of the Holy Spirit. And it still does today. And where Paul's confidence comes from in their faith would endure is because they had been convicted by the Holy Spirit and filled. Although we only covered the first few verses here in this letter, Paul's greeting shows us just how much he loved this church that he only spent a few weeks with. More importantly, as we have seen so far, he prayed consistently for this church, and he had a deep desire to encourage them to remain steadfast. How about you? Are you remaining steadfast? Are you an encouragement to others, even when your life struggles and trials come along? Just as Paul wrote these letters during his missionary journeys, he was also facing his own persecutions. We'll see later he wrote letters while he was in prison, being severely beaten. But he continued to encourage the laborers for Christ Jesus. Next week, we're going to continue our series on You've Got Mail.